This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. We got a lot on tap for you today. We're going to talk a lot of NBA, including wrapping up two night games in the NBA playoffs last night. We'll preview tonight's slate, four-game slate tonight. AJ Schultz is going to hop on down the progressive guest line there. We're going to talk some pucks. Big hockey night tonight, some elimination games there. And then we'll finish up with the baseball slate. My favorite over-unders, other picks for the games for tonight's slate there. A lot going on, Nick. Let's jump right into the nightcap last night, because that was the compelling game of the two. Warriors hold off the Rockets. Rockets had a seven-point halftime lead. Decided that making free throws was for fools and suckers, so didn't do it. Warriors won instead. It's now 3-1 Golden State.
3-1 Golden State. You know, maybe the books were right all along, Jeff, to price the Warriors where they did coming into this series. No, you and I think have been in agreement that we like Golden State to win. We just thought that price was a little bit outsized, but I think we are seeing, you know, one of the big tropes coming into this series play out as it goes along, which was the experience of the Golden State Warriors versus the lack of experience, relatively speaking, for most of these guys on the Houston Rockets. And, you know, there are exceptions, right? Dylan Brooks has played in playoff series. So has Steven Adams. You know, Fred VanVleet has a ring. And it's not like they're completely inexperienced, but some of the key guys for the Houston Rockets, and namely Jalen Green, you know, I think we are kind of seeing that maturation process that a lot of young players go through in their first playoffs. And obviously Jalen Green was terrible in game one. He was fantastic in game two. That was the common thread in the one game that the Rockets have won in this series, is they actually got a decent game out of Jalen Green. Everything came crashing back down in game three. And I thought he was even worse last night. I mean, the Rockets cannot beat this Warriors team without Jalen Green giving them contributions. I mean, you get 31 out of Şengün, who I thought, you know, missed some big opportunities, you know, still is kind of lacking confidence when he's matched up with Draymond Green. They went to him on that big possession late and settled for just this bizarre, like, turnaround 17-foot contested push shot. But Jalen Green was not on the floor, right? I mean, Jalen Green was off the court for most of the second half because Ime Udoka completely lost confidence in him. Early in the game, he gets stripped on two consecutive possessions that go for layups. It's Buddy Hield stealing the ball from you. Buddy Hield is not a notable defender by any means. I think if the Rockets get even a slightly below average game from Jalen Green last night, they probably win. You know, I think they've succeeded in kind of mucking this series up, making the Warriors work. They did a much better job defensively against Stephen Curry last night. You know, I thought a lot of things in that regard went the Rockets' way. But not only did they not get what they needed from Green, but we finally got some big role player contributions on the Warriors side of things. Buddy Hield, 15 points, 3 three-pointers, and Brandon Podziemski coming through. Played 40 minutes. He's in the starting lineup now. 26 points for him, second only to 27 from Butler.
Yeah, horrible line for Jalen Green. 25 minutes only, minus 11 out there. 1 for 5 from three, 1 for 3 from the free throw line, which is a theme. 19 for 31 as a whole. Yeah, this is a thin team too. They only play 8 players. You know, it's not like they have like loads of guys they can turn to here. You know, he averages 31 minutes a game in the regular season. In the last 10, 28 and a half. So maybe he's been kind of on the downswing anyhow, but yeah, you can't win without him contributing something at all. And he was a nothing burger in this game. And that was a big part of that there. You mentioned Podziemski. I'm glad you did, because he really stepped up. You know, Green was in major foul trouble. Shouldn't have even been in the game, really. You know, he got that flagrant, which should have been a tech. Somehow in that conflagration there, he gets the flagrant one. You know, Houston gets the tech with Eason there. And yet, You know, that would have been, you know, the second tech for Green, and the whole game he's now playing with foul trouble the whole time. They make it work though. You know, he only plays 31 minutes, but he was in their dome and he was on, Şengün on the final play of the game. It was almost like, we're going to prove to you that we can take it to Draymond Green. It's like, no, just get the best shot. And they just didn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, because all I do is talk negatively about Fred VanVleet, but I thought the ball had to be in his hands in that possession, right? If you're not going to put Jalen Green out there, if you've lost your confidence in him, the only real, you know, to me, shot creator, big time shot maker who was out there was VanVleet, who played easily his best game of the series, easily his best game in a few weeks, 8 for 12 from beyond the arc, you know, finally came through, had 6 assists as well, and, you know, did end up with the desperation heave at the end as the Rockets tried to tie it. But yeah, a lot of mistakes I thought by Udoka, you know, kind of let the the way this game was being officiated, you know, the intensity, you know, all the brouhahas that we had. I mean, the second quarter alone took like an hour and 15 minutes because of all the reviews and the technicals and the flagrants. And I think Udoka kind of got wrapped up in that and, you know, made some mistakes down the stretch. But the bottom line is the Golden State Warriors now in control of the series. Obviously, we shift back to Houston for game five. The Rockets are 4-point favorites. The series is definitely not over. You know, I think the Rockets have proven that they can defend at the level they need to win this series. But you have to be really concerned about the offensive side of the ball. And I think if they do end up losing this series, it makes you wonder, does this spur some sort of change this offseason? You know, would they be a team that would try to pry Giannis out of Milwaukee? Would they try to go get Kevin Durant, you know, try to remedy some of those offensive issues?
Yeah, exactly. They're going to have to, you know, they'll have to address all of those there. It should, at least that they're young enough and cap friendly enough that they can adjust to that a little bit there. Let's talk about the Cavs Heat. It was a beat me down of all beat me downs. Just brutal performance. 72-33 at halftime, 43-17 at the end of the first quarter. At no point was Miami involved in this game. This is the easiest 8.5-point cover ever. Shades of Phoenix Dallas in a game seven, the difference being at least people thought some, you know, Phoenix had a chance in the series. You know, maybe you give Miami that little out. They're the team that traded away Jimmy Butler after all. You know, we didn't expect them to make any sort of run in the playoffs, but still most lopsided playoff series ever, according to total points there.
Yeah, plus 122 were the Cavaliers in these four games, which is just completely outrageous. And, you know, the Cavs led this game 73-33 at the half. 33 first half points for Miami. I mean, you're thinking that worst quarter, or that first quarter, excuse me, was the worst case scenario. Miami scores 17 points and they come out and play even worse offensively in the second. And, you know, they briefly, you know, kind of tried to compete for a little bit in the third, essentially called off the dogs by the end of the third quarter. Miami shot 36% as a team, 10 of 49 from beyond the arc, just a full-on disaster game in every sense of the word. And, you know, you look at the Cavs, obviously they played close to a best case scenario game, did turn it over 11 times, but a lot of those came late in the game. A 139.8 offensive rating for the Cavaliers last night, which is a crazy, crazy number, but not all that dissimilar from what they've done this entire series. For the four game series, Jeff, the Cavaliers finished with a 136.2 offensive rating. 136.2, a plus 34.5 net rating. I mean, that offensive rating is 16 points per 100 better than the Indiana Pacers, who've been the second best playoff offense and have been fantastic throughout the series against Milwaukee. So start to buy in a little bit more on this Cavs team, Jeff, especially with these injuries stacking up with Boston. Jrue Holiday is going to miss another game tonight. Jaylen Brown is banged up. Jason Tatum has missed time. You can still get the Cavs right now at plus 175 to win the Eastern Conference. If Boston is fully healthy, I'm still leaning Celtics there, but I think plus 175 is a pretty reasonable price in a Celtics-Cavaliers Eastern Conference Finals, now minus 230.
Yep, they got to go party in Miami over the weekend, didn't have to work that hard. You know, their starters played like 25 minutes. Now they get to wait and rest for a little bit there. They'll face the winner of Indiana-Milwaukee. We'll talk about that later on. But you know, that's shaping up pretty well for them as well. So you know, things are turning up Cleveland right now, that's for sure. Before we move on to talk a little baseball, a couple things we're going to talk about here. But first, are you still using your buddy's gut instinct as your betting strategy? Come on, you deserve better. RotoWire has the real tools the pros use: rankings, projections, updates, and data that doesn't sleep. Whether you're making picks, setting your fantasy lineup, or placing bets, our award-winning insights give you the edge you need. Get started today by heading over to RotoWire.com and entering Roto15 at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. Let's move over to baseball. Brandon Nimmo just had another RBI, had 9 of them yesterday there in a span of 3 at bats. Actually, that was the thing that was kind of noteworthy about that one there. You know, went 3-run homer, grand slam, then the bases were loaded for him again in the next at bat, and only had a double, only a 2-run double after that there. 20 wins on the season for Nimmo. I mean, for the Mets, excuse me. As we alluded to yesterday, not everything is perfect for them, but they're still really looking good there and in a good spot in the NL East.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily feel like the Mets are running away with this division. Obviously, they played really well over the last couple of weeks. They've now won 9 of their last 11, had that 7-game winning streak earlier in the month. But I think there are still ways where this team could improve, right? And that's what's scary. It's like, I think Edwin Diaz should be better going forward. You know, it hasn't been a fantastic start necessarily for Juan Soto. He's been much better over the last couple of weeks, but he struggled early on. Like, it does feel like this team is rounding into form and could really end up going on an extended run. I mean, they now lead the NL East by 4.5 games over the Phillies, who are 5-5 in their last 10. Braves starting to make a little bit of a run. They're inching closer to 500. They're 6.5 back. But look at those NL East odds right now over at DraftKings. Mets -135. Is that something you would bet right now, Jeff? Is that enough value?
Yeah, it's getting worse value, but I still think it's there. I mean, I think they're a heavy favorite for a good reason. And, you know, yeah, I think I would say that's decent value.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I don't think the book is closed necessarily on that division. I'm still pretty high on that Phillies team. But given what we've seen of late, I think -135, at least fair.
One football note. George Kittle agreed to a contract extension. 4 years, $76.4 million. Waited until after the draft to get it done. Their win total sits at 10.5, which is interesting because they had a lot of big losses, key losses, especially on the defensive side of the ball this offseason via free agency. They did draft 3 out of their top 4 picks are defensive linemen, so they tried to restock the room. Over under at 10.5 at +115 on the over. Are you in on that, Nick Whalen?
I don't know if I am, Jeff. I don't know if I am. I think this is a 9 or a 10 win team. I think they had their kind of disaster season last year, but a lot of missing pieces now on that defense. I think you're asking a lot of this incoming draft class to fill those shoes. You know, you got injuries. Brandon Ayuk is a big question mark. Christian McCaffrey is a big question mark. I would go under right now.
I would as well. All right, more NBA talk coming up next. This is Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson, Nick Whalen here from RotoWire.com. Huge NBA slate. Four games on the slate here, including Knicks Bucks at my Pacers. We got confirmation yesterday about Dame Lillard, you know, torn Achilles tendon, not just out for the playoffs, obviously, but probably out for all of next season. And who knows what that means for the rest of his career. We're seeing this game either at -8, -7.5, depending where you look on that one. Mm-hmm. A lot of different factors for you, Nick. I'll let you take it away.
This is the last stand for the Milwaukee Bucks, Jeff, and there's been a lot of chatter. This is potentially the final game of the Giannis Antetokounmpo era. We will see. Well, we'll table that discussion for now. I think, you know, it's going to be a long runway as far as what Giannis opts to do, as far as whether he wants to put some pressure on the organization to potentially move him this summer. But this is a tough game to evaluate because it feels like everything is going Indiana's way, right? They've dominated this series. You take Damian Lillard now out of the mix. You know, that's kind of another emotional toll now on top of all this for the Milwaukee Bucks. But this could be, you know, one of those cornered animal spots, right? Everybody expects the Bucks to just lie down. You know, Indiana's been getting off to these great starts. Bucks are playing from behind. I tend to think that's how this game goes, but it wouldn't shock me, you know, if we see Milwaukee, you know, conjure up something. You know, Giannis just goes crazy in this game. His points prop is at 32.5. I would certainly lean over on that. But, you know, what would concern me if you're looking toward the Bucks to cover this number tonight is that we've just seen no improvement from Milwaukee on the defensive end. You know, they've had some games in this series where they've played pretty well offensively. Even game 4, they hit 15 threes. They only turned it over 7 times. Giannis gave you 28 in 15. And they still lost by 26. They still lost by 26 points. Like, the game was never really close at any point. So it's tough for me to go away from the Pacers here. I snagged that at 7.5 over at BetMGM. That number is up to 8 right now at DraftKings. In terms of props that I'm eyeing up tonight, AJ Green, you know, kind of a bit player for the Milwaukee Bucks, a 3-point specialist. Looking at the over 2.5 threes, you can get that at +135, which I think is a pretty reasonable price. Again, this is a kitchen sink game for Milwaukee. They need shooting to keep up with Indiana. They've not been able to provide any resistance defensively. Green's gone over this number in 3 of 4 games so far in this series. I think there's potential that we see some more minutes out of him. He's already been playing 25, 27 minutes off the bench. But you take Damian Lillard out of the equation, and I think the Bucks lean on shooting. They don't really have defenders that they could turn to off the bench. On the Indiana side, I would look at Tyrese Halliburton. He's been great throughout this series, over 15 and a half assists plus rebounds. You can get that at minus 120. It's gone well over that number in every game in this series, averaging 12 and a half assists alone through these four games. So the concern with Halliburton would be that this does turn into a lopsided game once again in favor of the Pacers, but they've played their starters, you know, pretty decent minutes well into the second half in some of these blowouts. So feel pretty comfortable about the 15 and a half.
I'm going to throw out two other numbers here. The Giannis points prop is up to 33 and a half. To pay minus 115 for the over on draft at the DraftKings Sportsbook, and I still might play it. Feel like this is a Giannis last stand sort of game. Very pride, a lot of pride on the line. I don't think he's going to go out with a whimper. I think he's going to go out fighting.
Right.
We've been talking also Andrew Nembhard a lot in this series and his props. It's 11 and a half on him. It's minus 120 for the 11 and a half. What do you think about that one?
I would keep riding it, to be honest. I mean, that's been my most profitable player to target in this series is, you know, just keep going after Andrew Nembhard. We haven't seen that prop really inflate a whole lot. It's usually been at 10 and a half throughout this series. So tack one more point on there. I'm fine with that. And Giannis obviously has gone over that number in three of four games. I mean, the concern on the Milwaukee side, of course, is that this could be a Heat Cavs situation. Probably not that dramatic, but again, if things start to slip away from Milwaukee early on, outside of Giannis, there's just not many guys that you can really trust to bring you back into the game.
Yeah, I'm a Pacers fan, so I'm going to pull the I'm not going to fall for that banana in the tailpipe line here. I'm not going to jump on the side just because I've seen too many times where they've let teams back in. That's just my own fandom interfering with logic there. Pistons Knicks. You know, I stayed away from the total. You're staying away from this game kind of as a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, we got four games tonight. So you don't want to overextend. This is one that I'm just having a tough time figuring out exactly what will happen. Knicks are 5.5 point favorites at DraftKings right now. Total 214 and a half. I know it did get up to 215 at some shops. It has been on the rise, but you know, I do think New York probably closes it out coming back home for game five, but they've won the last two games by just 3 combined points. You know, you look at that double digit win in game one, the final score kind of belies what actually happened. Obviously there was the crazy 21-0 run in the fourth quarter that ended up propelling the Knicks, but this has been a really, really hard fought series in all four games so far. You know, the reemergence of Karl Anthony Towns over the last two games has been huge for the New York Knicks. I would expect them to keep going to him to try to close this thing out in game five. Also taking a look at OG Anunoby, you know, can he bounce back from a rough game four? You know, he was really, really good down the stretch for the Knicks. Has been a little bit hot and cold so far in this series, had just 8 points on 13 shots in game four. You'd expect him to be better tonight. I would lean over, by the way, on that total. You know, we'll see how tightly they end up calling this game. You know, it's been one of those series where we've seen kind of two different versions of the referees. Two games have gone way over, two games have gone way under, but I would expect both teams to shoot it better tonight. The Knicks hit 15 threes in game four, but they shot just 32% from 2-point range, which is horrendous. Detroit went just 7 of 29 from three. They turned it over 17 times. No one other than Tim Hardaway Jr. or Malik Beasley hit a three for Detroit.
All right. It's been an amazing week in sports. I mean, we had the draft last week. You know, we got the playoffs in both leagues. We got Major League Baseball. We also got the Kentucky Derby this week. Whether you're placing your first bet or you've been playing the ponies for years, VSiN's Kentucky Derby betting guide has everything you need to get ahead on Derby Day. Inside the guide, you'll find a clear breakdown of how to bet on horse racing, great for beginners like me. By the way, I live a mile from Santa Anita and I never bet on the ponies. It's funny. Detailed previews for both the Kentucky Derby and the Kentucky Oaks and best bets from top racing experts to help serious bettors cash in. The guide drops April 30th and it's yours with a VSiN Pro subscription. Start today for just $9.99 and get your first 30 days of VSiN Pro, including the Derby guide, daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, and more. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. All right. Clippers, Nuggets, the game everybody's excited about one here. This is 2-2. Very excited about this game. Want to make sure we didn't do it in chronological order so we can make sure we cover in this game in enough detail.
Yeah, once again, the game of the night, right? We got four games coming our way. For some reason, that Bucks-Pacers game is starting at 3 o'clock your time, Jeff, which tells you the priority level, I think, for that one. But everything, once again, building toward Clippers-Nuggets. This has been the best series so far in the playoffs. And once again, have a really tight number. Clippers actually a 1.5-point road favorite in Denver tonight, which to me makes sense. It makes sense. Like they have looked like the better team to me for the majority of the series. It really feels like it could be 3-1 or honestly even 4-0 in favor of the Clippers. Obviously, they fell behind big in game four. You know, kind of a miracle that they were able to work their way back into that game, make it a one possession game in the fourth quarter. But I think the Clippers feel like they've left some meat on the bone in a couple of these games so far. I don't think they're really scared of playing in Denver. I think they are still in command. So I'm looking at the Clippers money line here, willing to lay a little bit extra just to eliminate some variance in what could be a very close game. You can get that -130 at DraftKings. A couple things to keep an eye on here. Michael Porter Jr. expected to play tonight. He is dealing with a shoulder injury, but will not be suspended for leaving the bench in that last game. And Russell Westbrook also questionable for the Denver Nuggets after missing game four. Don't have a whole lot in the prop market here. I would look at Kawhi over on his points prop. But the big thing I'm monitoring, Jeff, is can the Clippers get back to making Nikola Jokic work for everything he's getting? Had a huge game in game four. You know, I thought they did a much better job defensively on him in games two and three specifically. So we'll be very interested to see what Ty Lue has up his sleeve in terms of adjustments, because you don't want to be giving up, you know, those kind of numbers to Nikola Jokic. I think you prefer to let the Denver Nuggets role players try to beat you.
Exactly. And, you know, you have the presumed coaching advantage of Lue versus the Nuggets, obviously, changing over at, you know, a week before the end of the season. But I got to say, I'm impressed with the way how resilient the Nuggets were after getting blown out in game three. You're like, okay, this could be all. This could be it. It could be over. And instead, no, they rallied, had a huge game four win on the road like that. I got to say I'm impressed. So, and a lot of it has to go to Jokic, obviously. A lot of credit goes to him. Magic and the Magic and Celtics. This could be this is an elimination game. Back in Boston, Celtics kind of put it away pretty comfortably in the second half of that game on Sunday night. What are you looking for in this game?
Yeah, so the Celtics are up to 11.5-point favorites at DraftKings, and that is with Jaylen Brown listed as questionable and Drew Holiday now ruled out for a third straight game. You know, the Celtics have impressed me. I know these games have been ugly. They haven't been high scoring, but they have embraced playing this series in the mud, you know, kind of knowing that the Orlando Magic are going to slow things down, going to make this, you know, more of a half court type of game. And I think defensively, the Celtics have executed their plan really well, which is, you know, look, we'll let Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner get their numbers because no one else is stepping up for this Orlando Magic team. I mean, they accounted for 55 of the Magic's 98 points in game four, and they continue to dare these role players to beat them. They just have not been able to do that. Magic are shooting just 28% from three for the series. So I think the Celtics win this game. I'm staying away from the side, but I do like Derek White over 19.5 points plus assist, especially with no Drew Holiday. Maybe take a look at Kristaps Porzingis over 16.5 points as well.
All right, very good. We're going to pivot over to the ice. AJ Schultz is going to jump on with us on the Progressive Guest Line. This is Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Time to talk a little National Hockey League, and to help us do that, we got AJ Scholes, our NHL assistant editor, one of our betting experts over at RotoWire, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. AJ, welcome back to the show, man. I know you got some plays for us for tonight's playoff slate, but got to start with a wild slate in the NHL last night, and we'll go to the Florida Panthers. They take down Tampa Bay, now up 3-1 in that series. Just a wild, wild game down in Florida. 2 goals in 11 seconds in the third period for the Panthers to eventually take the lead. They ended up scoring 3 goals in a little over 2 minutes. They win it 4-2. Opportunity now for the Panthers to close out this series in Tampa tomorrow night, but seeing the Lightning as slight favorites on the money line. If you've been able to dig in on this game or this series at all yet, AJ, do you expect the Panthers to close this thing out, or can the Lightning extend it?
I think they're going to extend this one. It's just, it's such a battle. You know, you look at this series, you've got Hagel gets suspended for a game for a hit. what happens the first game he's back from that suspension. He gets hit in the head. He's going to be out. I'm guessing Aaron Ekblad's going to face at least a one-game suspension. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they just gave him a three game so that he can't come back in this series. Just it's been that chippy. I think with the home crowd energy, I think Tampa is going to extend the series. I thought it would go six, maybe seven to begin with. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Tampa force that game six back the other way.
Yeah, it's crazy. Ekblad just came back from a suspension of his own. Had to be especially a bitter taste for Lightning fans because he got the game tying goal. Even after Panthers had another goal waved off by Ekblad too. So kind of a crazy sequence in that third period.
Well, and the biggest concern I would have if I'm a Lightning fan is two of those goals happen not really because of any problem with the goaltending. They had a guy standing in front of the net. There's no defenders around and they're able to just put it in. I could probably have scored from that distance, with those pucks. So I really think, they need to improve the defensive side. This isn't a problem with Andre Vasilevsky. This is a problem with the Tampa defense.
Let's talk a little Stars Avalanche, AJ. Dallas now leading that series 3-2 after a big win last night. Scored early, were able to essentially play from ahead. Avs did rally to make it 3-2 at one point, but Stars quickly slammed the door shut on any sort of comeback bid. So Dallas now minus 210 to win this series. Again, leading 3-2. Avalanche, though, plus 180 to mount a comeback. Would you consider jumping on the Avs at plus 180 to win this thing?
I wouldn't, not unless they make a goaltender change. If I'm coaching that team, I would have pulled the goalie after the second goal, or the third goal, rather. Two of them, they were just silly mistakes. He lost track of the puck on both of them. That first goal that happened like 10 seconds into the game, he's cheating away from his post. It just goes over his shoulder. I think it was the third one, like goes up in the air, tumbles over his back. Like that would have been it for me. Like he just didn't have it. Their backup, Scott Wedgwood, hasn't played in a while, but he hasn't lost in regulation. I think it's over like his last six or seven games. So he's looked really good. He stopped all eight shots he faced the other night. So I would seriously consider making a goaltender change, because if they have Blackwood in there, I'm just not sure I'm confident in him. And unless they make that change, I'm not betting the Avs at all on this one.
Got a huge slate tonight. Four games on tap, a couple elimination games there as well, including Sens Maple Leafs. This has been the overtime series. We'll see if we get any more of that. What plays do you like in this game and what side do you like?
Yeah, I mean, if it's just straight betting, or picking a side rather, I like the Leafs in this one to close it out. The problem for me is I don't love giving up the one, about 160, 170 on the money line. I don't love having to go the minus goal and a half. You mentioned how many of these have gone to overtime. I'm not seeing puck line really being an option. This could be another one goal game. So for me, I'm looking at player props in this one. And, I really like Austin Matthews' game right now as more of a playmaker. And you can get him to get an assist, comes in at minus 110. That's really good value for Austin Matthews to get an assist in this one. And then goal scorer, Matthew Nyes has been red hot. He comes in at plus 215 in this one. And look, single game parlay those two together, because that's what's been happening. You've been getting Matthews feeding Nyes the puck. And if that happens on a goal, then you're doubling up. I put it in earlier today. It was coming in just around plus 300 to single game parlay those together.
85% of the handle coming in on the Maple Leafs to cover the 1.5 on the puck line. 92% of the money on the Leafs money line. Speaking of, you want to know where that money is really going? Unlike other sources, our betting splits at VSiN come straight from Circa and the DK Sportsbooks, giving you insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings provides more of a broad market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just public money, but the kind of wagers that end up moving lines. You can see the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's summer special right now for just $59. You can get that until August 1st over at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Got AJ Scholes, our NHL assistant editor, one of our betting experts at RotoWire, joining us on the Progressive guest line, helping us break down this four-game NHL postseason slate. AJ, let's move over to the Devils and the Hurricanes. You just talked about, you know, maybe not wanting to give up some value, dabbling in the money line. I know this is one where you're looking at the puck line.
Yeah, I think you have to consider the fact that every game that Carolina has won in this series, they've done it by two or more goals. You know, the game they lost was in double overtime. Obviously, that wouldn't have hit for you. But there's some real concerns on the blue line for the Devils. They're already going to be without Luke Hughes. They're going to be without Brendan Dillon, Johnny Kovacevic. Now we just found out today that Jonas Siegenthaler and Brett Pesce are both considered day-to-day. And even if those guys play, that means they're not at 100%. So you're just chipping away at the quality defenseman here for this team. They don't have Jack Hughes on the offensive side of the puck as their main, you know, centerpiece for their top line. So how are they going to score goals and how are they going to keep them out of the net? I just don't see how it works for them tonight. I love Carolina in this game. You can get just about even money on the Hurricanes with that puck line. So I think you got to jump on it.
Yeah. Interesting side note in this game from the Carolina side, though. No Frederik Andersen. It's going to be Kochetkov in goal. And, you know, Kochetkov had, you know, had a lengthy, you know, gap between games. You know, hadn't played since like April 16th. It was a little shaky early on. That would be the one thing I was watching. I'd watch from the Carolina side is, do they get the good goaltending there?
Yeah, I don't think they're super worried about it. I mean, that layoff is, it is a good chunk of time not to play a game. I think it's about 11 games in between when he came in their last one there. But since the Four Nations faceoff, so you're talking late February, they had been going every other night, switching back and forth between the goalies. So it's not like this is a backup that they haven't used much this season or that didn't see a lot of time. Now, he did stumble down the stretch. There's no question about that, which is why Freddie Andersen got the game one start and they kept using him. But this is not an unknown quantity for this team. They know what they have in him.
All right, AJ, I know you may not have any official plays for the other two games tonight, but we got the Wild and the Golden Knights. We got the Oilers and the Kings in the late window tonight. Any leans for either of those two games?
I actually don't hate the idea of taking the Wild. You can get nearly 2-1 money, plus 195 on the money line. I don't hate that play. I know they're on the road, but this team is better than they've played recently. And they've got a goaltender in Filip Gustavsson who can steal a game. I mean, totally capable of, you know, taking things to the next level. He's seen a ton of work down the stretch. That's my only concern there. You know, he's only sat out two of their last, looks like about 20 games here. So that's my one concern is his work level. But he's fully capable of stealing a game. They've looked better with, you know, obviously with Kirill Kaprizov back. They're going to get Marcus Johansson back after he was forced to miss the last game here. So when you can get that 2-1 value, Minnesota looks like a strong play to me.
All right, AJ, we got about 20 seconds, so we'll keep this one quick. But if you had to bet a Stanley Cup winner right now, knowing what we know through, you know, a little bit more than half of the first round, who would be your play?
I think I stick with the Jets. I was on them to start. I know they've looked real bad their last two games, but they won the President's Trophy for a reason, and they're one of the best teams in hockey.
Okay, there we have it. You can get the Winnipeg Jets to win the Stanley Cup right now, plus 950 over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. AJ Scholes, our assistant NHL editor over at RotoWire. Check out all of his work at rotowire.com. Check him out on Twitter at AJScholes24. We're going to switch over to Major League Baseball when we come back. Jeff Erickson's best bets for a full Tuesday slate coming up next on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Prop Points here on VSiN. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson hanging out with you for another 15 minutes or so, taking you up to the top of the hour. Make it rain with Adam Schein. Coming up next, as always, he's going to have VSiN's Zach Cohen on the show to give his best bets for tonight's NBA slate. Jeff, we got to finish out with some Major League Baseball talk. We got a full slate coming our way. All 30 teams in action, all night games tonight. So that gives us a wide swath of games to choose from. And we'll start in the AL East. We got the Yankees on the road at the Orioles. O's took game one of the series, a much needed win for Baltimore last night. Yankees now minus 155 on the money line, total sitting at 9.5 tonight. Carlos Rodon going up against Kyle Gibson, who's making his debut. Does this matter? The Orioles need pitching help, Jeff. Is Kyle Gibson going to provide it?
If Kyle Gibson's the answer, I don't want to know the question. No offense to Kyle Gibson. He's a cromulent veteran, but that's the type of guy that the Orioles are turning to. Massive difference in the pitching matchup here tonight in favor of the Yankees. Keep in mind, too, not just that Carlos Rodon is on fire. Zero earned runs in his last two starts, which over 13 innings, 17 Ks in that span. His K percentage is up 31.5. It was 26.5 last year. It's already good last year. Now it's great this year. But the Orioles are also horrible against left-handed pitching. Dead last in WOBA at 233. Dead last in WRC plus at 49 against left-handed pitching. They averaged 27.5 K percentage against left-handed pitchers. Gibson's making his debut. He had 78 pitches in his last minor league start, five innings. He's had some back tightness. There's a reason why this line is the way it is here. I'm going to go with the strikeout prop on Rodon because I think he's going to keep rolling with those strikeouts. Over 6.5 strikeouts at plus 100. I'd also wouldn't mind throwing in something on the money line. Maybe tying it together with the Yankees money line. It's up to minus 162, by the way. You got to shop around for that. See if you can get that 155 price somewhere else. Sometimes we put this in the outline early and the prices change, unfortunately. But I think I'd be heavy on the Yankee side tonight.
Yeah, a lot of money coming in on the New York Yankees, as you would expect. 92% of the handle, according to VSiN.com, on the Yankees money line, 87% of the bets. All right, let's go over to the NL, Jeff. We got the Cubs and the Pirates. Cubs, of course, leading the NL Central, but someone, Cincinnati Reds, making a bit of a charge, a team we'll talk about in a little bit. Cubs minus 142 on the money line, total at 8.5. And a lefty-on-lefty matchup tonight, Jeff. Shota Imanaga and Andrew Heaney.
Yeah, and rain's going to be in the forecast on this one, so watch out for that. Makes me kind of shy away from a lot of the pitching bets here on this one here. Heaney's on fire, 172 ERA, 0.77 whip, 31-6 K to walk. He's rolling right now, but he kind of picked on the Angels, who are a high strikeout team and really struggle against lefties. The Cubs are the opposite of that. The Cubs rake against lefties, 378 WOBA, 143 WRC plus. I think this is a tough matchup for Heaney. I don't really like this matchup against the Cubs. Meanwhile, Imanaga is a little down from last year, too. His K percentage is way down, 19.6%. It was 25.1% last year. He's already allowed seven homers this year. But the Pirates are terrible against lefties. It's a conundrum here. I like the over on the game. I might be a stay away because of the weather, but I like the over 8.5 if I were to bet anything on this one. It's at minus 102 price.
Let's stay in the National League. We got the Cardinals and the Reds. NL Central matchup, Miles Michaelis going up against Brady Singer. Cincinnati won its fifth in a row last night. Reds are red hot right now, Jeff. They are minus 135 on the money line. Another elevated total here at 9.5. So how do we attack this one, Michaelis against Singer?
You know, it's an interesting matchup again, especially on the St. Louis side of things. Michaelis, he hasn't allowed a homer, and yet he's still been terrible. 570 ERA, 152 whip. The Reds hit him well historically. Their team has compiled a lineup as it sets is a 299, 319, 564 slash line against him over his career. I think he's been a little lucky in home runs. That shouldn't last. Cardinals aren't hitting very well on the road, 239, 310. 348, so like only 8 home runs on the road so far in 520 plate appearances. If you want to go with the side, I could see that. I also like just going with the Reds over in the first 5 innings, over 2.5 runs, trying to pick on Michaelis, who they do traditionally do pretty well. That's at minus 120. It's a little bit of better price than the money line as a whole.
All right, fun game in Queens tonight. We got the Diamondbacks and the Mets. This is Eduardo Rodriguez taking on David Peterson, another lefty-on-lefty matchup. The Mets, of course, coming off of that dominant win last night. They put up 20. Brandon Nimmo had the huge game, as we talked about to begin the show. Interesting pitching matchup here, though, Jeff, and I know that's leading you toward a play on the total.
Yeah, it is. Interesting pitching matchup, two lefties. Both teams actually hit lefties pretty well, which is kind of interesting. Arizona was the best team against lefties last year. In fact, they led baseball in runs scored last year. They're not quite as efficient against lefties so far this season, but I don't suspect that that's going to last very long. Their bullpen, though, is a real problem. They blew a, you know, they lost the Eugenio Suarez game, the four homer game on Saturday, in part because their bullpen couldn't hold any leads. Their only good pitcher right now in the bullpen right now is probably Justin Martinez. AJ Puck is out. They might get Kevin Ginkel off the IL today. We'll see about that one there. Meanwhile, for the Mets, David Peterson's been kind of dodging raindrops all season. He's got a 1.43 whip compared to a 3.29 ERA. That doesn't match up very well. And it's because he's been able to limit home runs, only two home runs allowed so far. I kind of like the over for all those reasons, over 8.5 runs at -112 in this game.
Let's move on to the Giants and the Padres. Somehow the first division game of the season, Jeff, for the San Francisco Giants. We got Logan Webb going up against Nick Pivetta. Padres still off to a really nice start, but have dropped four in a row. Those injuries feeling like they're starting to add up. And when you see, look at the total here, Jeff, 6.5, easily our lowest total on the board tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Great pitching matchup, and the Padres are in a bad way right now. They might get Luis Arraez back from his concussion. He's scheduled to return tonight, so we'll see about that when the lineups come out. But that should help a little bit. The Padres have scored three runs total, not averaging, but three runs total over the last five games. They had three straight shutouts and then one and two runs, respectively. Got swept by the Rays, so they're at a low point right now. I think I'm going to continue on that side of things there. I like the under on the team total for the Padres at -2.5 runs. You get +120 on that one there. I like that price as well. But both the Giants and the Diamondbacks, by the way, still haven't played a game against the NL West. That changes tonight for the Giants, at least. Pivetta has been really good at home. That's the reason why I'm not picking a side on this game.
All right, Nationals-Phillies. This is a really fun series. We get a rematch from opening day between Mackenzie Gore and Zach Wheeler. I know you think Webb and Pivetta might be the best pitching matchup on the board tonight, Jeff, and you might be right. This is the one I'm most looking forward to watching. We got Philly -192 on the money line, total sitting at 8.5. I know you got a few plays and a couple derivatives here in the prop market as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. This is a great pitching matchup. Mackenzie Gore is taking the leap. It's fun to watch. It's not just the Ks, which are amazing. At 37.3%, it's one of the best in baseball, but his walk percentage is trending downward too. We like that. He's even been a little bit unlucky, 368 BABIP against. The problem is he's got to go deep into this game. The Nats bullpen is just awful. Yesterday obviously weighs that down quite a bit. They have a 620 ERA, the Nats bullpen does. On the other side, Wheeler, he's an ace. As Nick Pollock, my friend from Pitcherless, says, aces are going to ace. 102 whip, 50 to 8K to walk. Only vulnerability is allowed a few home runs, six homers so far. I think it's exactly one homer in every start so far. I like the under 8.5 on this one. When you got two aces like this here, you get it at -112. I also like the strikeout props for both Wheeler and Gore. They're both set at 6.5. Wheeler, you have to pay a little bit of a heavier price at -125. Gore's at -105. I think there'll be plenty of strikeouts to be had in this game.
All right, there we have it. I know you're also looking at the Royals under 3.5 team total in that KC Tampa Bay game, and Bowden Francis over 4.5 hits allowed in Red Sox Jays. It's time for our GBank best bets of the night. They're brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSIN. GBank is up in the ante with up to a $750 bonus for new GBank Visa Signature Card customers. New customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from opening their account get a $250 bonus. If you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within 30 days, you'll receive another $500 bonus. So that's potentially $750 in bonuses coming your way. You can apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. Jeff, your GBank best bet of the night.
I'm going to go with the under in that Phillies Nationals game. We're talking about that pitching matchup there. I think the line should be 7.5. It's 8.5. We'll go with that under.
Okay, there we have it. Nats Phillies under 8.5. I'm going to the Pacers, -7.5. I think they cover. I think they win big tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks, setting off a firestorm of an offseason for this Bucks franchise. So Nats Phillies under 8.5, Pacers covering the 7.5 tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks. That's going to wrap it up for us on today's edition of Prop Points. Stay tuned, though. Make It Rain with Adam Schein coming up next. Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard. That's coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern. And of course, VSiN Primetime with Matt Eumanns starting up at 7. We'll talk to you tomorrow.